complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. I'll ask your prayerful attention this afternoon to that well-known verse we find in the prophecy of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. The prophecy of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The 7th verse of this first chapter of the book of Nahum. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Dear friends, one would expect, perhaps, such a sweet verse and truth as this to be found at the end of some account where the Lord had worked wondrously and had granted some great deliverance to his people. But it is found in this prophecy of Nahum, which was a time of great trouble and threatening to the Lord's people from the power of Assyria and Nineveh. This prophecy speaks of the power and the wrath of God against Nineveh. And although Israel and Judah are sinful people, they deserve the wrath of God. They deserve to be destroyed. They do not deserve any mercy. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. It's a word of comfort, isn't it? A word of comfort in a time of trouble. And dear friends, the Lord knows what his people have need of when they come into times of trouble. We have that lovely confirming word, don't we, in the New Testament of Paul to Timothy. The foundation of God, it standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. You know, dear friends, that's a very solemn truth, isn't it? A very searching, deep truth. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Therefore, nothing happens by chance. If the Lord knows them that are his, the eternal God, who knows the endings from the beginning, dear friends, he knows his people from the beginning. Yea, from before the foundation of the world, he knew those that were his. And they were given all to his Son, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, to bear their iniquities, to pay the price for their sin. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And dear friends, he will bring them to know their sins. Those who are not the Lord's, they never come into any great conviction of sin, do they? Not before God. They may say they've done wrong from time to time, and what they've perhaps been acted unadvisedly. But they never come like David, who said, "Oh, against thee, O Lord, have I done this evil in thy sight." And with a broken and a contrite heart, I fall before him. But the Lord is good. He knows them that are his. He knows their sorrows and their troubles over their sin, because he causes them to know it himself. And they cry unto him for mercy. This is the spiritual application of this verse. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Dear friends, you've heard it says there's no trouble deeper than soul trouble. When one knows that one should, because of their transgressions, be banished into outer darkness or that lake with unquenchable fire for ever and ever and ever. Dear friends, that brings into great distress. And he causes one to cry, "Give me Christ, or else I die." A stronghold, a refuge, a shelter from the wrath of God for sin. Trusting, believing in Jesus Christ and that shed blood on Calvary's cross. Dear friends, that's the stronghold, isn't it, of the Holy Scriptures. The stronghold for sinners. Faith, saving faith, believing faith in Jesus Christ. And dear friends, where it's known, that soul can only say, "The Lord is good, the Lord is good. Why me, why me, why such a wretch as me? Who would forever lie in hell were not salvation free?" Becomes the joy and rejoicing of your heart, doesn't it? Oh, you've got that threatening. Oh, Nineveh here was threatening physically the Lord's people. Satan. Oh, that innermost evil of your heart. Dear friends, he threatens to destroy you, doesn't he? For the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we sin. And the power of sin, oh, we know it continually. But the Lord knows what to do. He's good. This is a word of comfort to a needy sinner. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Christ hath bore all that iniquity. What do we read in Isaiah 53? The Father saying of his Son, "By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." By his knowledge. Oh, you've heard me say different. You seem to be pressed upon me of late. That the Lord Jesus knows all that the Father hath given him through their sins which were imputed to him. He knew all their griefs and all their sorrows because he's borne it away through Calvary's cross. Oh, that dreadful agony of his death, the pouring out of his soul unto death. By his knowledge, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and he shall justify many, that they be found righteous before Almighty God in the day of judgment. For he has borne their iniquities, the travail of his soul. Oh, dear friends, what love there is in this word, isn't there? The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. You see, dear friends, when we come into that trouble of the conviction and the knowledge of our faults and failings, our backslidings, the power of self seeking to rule within us rather than the Spirit of God. If times of trouble, we have to trust in him, don't we? We have to trust in that shed blood. We have to pray earnestly, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, again and again. And plead that precious word that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Not one is left out. And to, find some comfort in that he, the high priest, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin, Jesus, is not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he without sin. The sinless Lamb of God, bearing the sins of others as the sacrifice, acceptable to the Father, that guilty sinners such as you and I, believing in him, shall have everlasting life. The Lord is good. He does not give us over to our consequence of our sins. But in that day of judgment, those names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so all the guilt that are contained in those other books we read of in the book of Revelation, which against which we should be judged, they have no effect. They have no power to condemn our soul. Because one's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That Book of Life through the death of Jesus Christ, who has paid the price for all sin. Oh, dear friends, what a wonderful thing it is to have our names there, written in that Book of Life, in some humble place, as the hymn writer puts it, beneath the Lord, the Lamb. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. You know the Book of Nahum, when Nineveh was in great power, it's not altogether clear, it doesn't state when it was written. But we do know from the accounts in the Old Testament that Nineveh and Assyria had great power to destroy Israel. Those tribes of Israel outside of Judah and Benjamin. Sennacherib, an earlier king to Sennacherib came and destroyed them. And then the king of Assyria from Nineveh, Sennacherib, came to fight against Judah. And it seems to be, dear friends, that Nahum was perhaps prophesying at this time. This great power was coming against Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And of himself he had no power against that enemy. Oh, but the Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. And dear friends, Hezekiah did trust in the Lord, didn't he? When those words came from Rabshakeh, the messenger from Sennacherib, about they were to submit unto the king of Assyria, or they would come and utterly destroy them. Think not that your God can deliver you from the hand of Sennacherib. He's destroyed all other nations. He's destroyed all other cities. He will not be overcome by your God. You cannot trust in him. Don't believe Hezekiah, he said to the people. Oh, what strong words there was to bring them down into fear and dread, doubt and unbelief. Dear friend, Satan still acts like that today, doesn't he? When terrible troubles perhaps arise in our lives, he's soon there to whisper within us, oh, that there's no deliverance. We shall be overcome. The Lord will not help us. But dear friends, Satan cannot overturn the word of God. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. He knew Hezekiah. And he heard Hezekiah's prayer when he spread out that letter before the Lord in the temple. And he gave him an answer, didn't he? He gave him an answer through Isaiah that Sennacherib would not come and destroy Jerusalem. Well, at the end of this first chapter of Nahum, we have, behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. A word from the Lord. Oh, dear friends, that's a great help in times of trouble, isn't it? When we have a word from the Lord. Dear friends, may this be a word from the Lord for some of you here this afternoon who are walking in a time of trouble. Or perhaps, not directly yourselves, but indirectly because of the trouble upon loved ones and others that you dearly love, even for the truth's sake. The Lord is good, is a stronghold in that day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. And dear friends, he will hear those prayers. He will not turn them away. He will bring you through, safely through. As I mentioned this morning, or to those whom the Lord hath redeemed, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. These things which seem to destroy the faith. In the fires thou shalt not be burned. He will bring you through. For I am the Lord thy God, thy Saviour. Now we have that, don't we, with Hezekiah. But how mysterious was the path. As when the Lord gave that word to Isaiah, it was a promise. But it did not come to pass immediately. Hezekiah came into a greater trouble, didn't he? We had it the other week. Hezekiah came sick unto death. As if the Lord, had now abandoned Hezekiah. There'd been a word from the Lord, but now, something else had arisen personally. He was a sickness unto death. What had happened to the word of the Lord, where the Lord had promised to the earlier King David that there would ever be a king to sit upon the throne of Judah and upon Israel. And Hezekiah had got no children. And yet he would die. And he was not ready to die. He couldn't plead his own good works. But dear friends, the Lord was a help to Hezekiah, wasn't he? He caused Hezekiah to pour out his heart before the Lord. Undertake, Lord, for me. Undertake for me. Be a surety for me. Do that for me which I cannot do myself. Pay the price for that which I cannot pay. Even the price of my sins. Dear friends, Hezekiah came into a low place. But the Lord was good. Hezekiah was loved with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness the Lord drew him to pour out his heart through trouble. And the Lord answered him, didn't he? He didn't send him to death. The Lord heard that prayer. It was acceptable. It was from a broken heart and a contrite spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. The Lord was ready to save him. He says, the Lord was ready to save me, cast my sins behind his back. And then the Lord fulfilled his promise that Sennacherib would not come into the city. And on that night we read that great plague affected all his army, and Sennacherib had to return to Nineveh. And there himself was killed by his own sons. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him, spiritually, providentially, practically in our lives. All things working together for good. Dear friends, you cannot separate, can you, things spiritual and providential in the way of the Lord's people. They are intertwined one with the other. And dear friends, have we not proven it ourselves? Can you look back? Or can you say perhaps you've been in a time of trouble? Maybe even the fear of death, like Hezekiah. And you've had to pour out your heart before the Lord for deliverance. And the Lord was ready to save you. He's brought you through. He didn't leave you there. He was with you. And maybe if it was a sickness, the Lord bless the means that he hath granted to us in these days. Whether medication or procedures, operations, whatever it was. And he's restored your life bodily and blessed you spiritually. There's his goodness. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. Oh, dear friends, when this experience comes, what a sweet assurance that he knows you. And you now have knowledge of him. A God of all grace, of love immense, and free his favours to dispense. Now, dear friends, this God is our God. Oh, our hardness of our unbelieving hearts can hinder us, can't they? Hinder us from the knowledge of his knowledge of us. Oh, dear friends, do pray earnestly the Lord break your hard heart and give you that heart of flesh. That softened heart that trusts in him at all times, that gives you the desire which we had this morning of David. Hold up my goings in thy path, that thou art my footsteps slip not. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Oh, shelter me under the shadow of thy wings. Oh, to be under the knowledge and the saving grace and the sovereign will and love of God all of our days. It's only then our ends will be everlasting peace. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Then, dear friends, don't be silent. Do cast up all your care upon him to know that he cares for you. I read that portion concerning a Joseph. Oh, dear friends, what a mysterious circumstances they were for Joseph. You know, these things are left on record for our learning. The Lord does not change. How he works so mysteriously in various ones' lives to bring about that which is of his sovereign purpose in accordance with his word. His ways are past finding out. Who knows how the Lord may use us, you, me, or in ever particular way, for his divine purpose. Joseph was born to one who appeared to be barren, Rachel. And we often find, don't we, where the Lord gives birth to a woman who was a barren, a son, one who would be used for his purpose. Well, it was Sarah, Abraham's wife. Well, even Rebecca, Isaac's wife. We come to Hannah, the mother of Samuel. We think of the mother of Samson. We can think of Elizabeth in the New Testament, who was the mother of John the Baptist. Dear friends, they were barren by nature, but the Lord saw fit at the particular time for them to give birth. And so it was with Joseph. He was the youngest at that time of all Jacob's children. And he was beloved of all, yes, Jacob's children, and he was beloved of Jacob, wasn't he? But the Lord was mindful of Joseph, and he gave him those visions. There were words from the Lord concerning him. They must have been mysterious things. How it was that, the vision of those sheaves and the ones of his brothers bowing down to his sheaf. And then the moon and the stars and the sun, making obeisance to the sun as if his brothers and his father would bow down to Joseph. You can say, Joseph was unwise to declare what he had been given in the vision. He was favoured by his father more than his other brothers. And how hatred, as you might say, disunity and conflict appeared in the house of Jacob. We have to be careful, don't we, how we conduct ourselves. We're not always righteous and act wisely. But even that won't overturn the will of the Lord. We have the account of Joseph going out to find his brothers. And they weren't there. Joseph could easily have turned round and come back. But no, there was somebody there in the field whom Joseph was constrained to ask. Where were his brothers? They'd gone on. To Shechem, to Dothan. So Joseph went in accordance with the command of his father, see how your brothers are doing. And there they conspired to kill him. But the Lord didn't permit them to kill him, did they? Did he? They couldn't. But they put him in a pit and did the next best thing they could, which was sell him. So he was departed from them, sell them to the Ishmaelites as a slave. And then deceived Jacob, Joseph's father, with the coat dipped in blood that he had been killed by some great beast. Dear friends, we cannot put ourselves in the pathway of Joseph, can we? What sorrow and grief there must have been in his heart, in his mind. Why had all this come upon him? And then that physical, uncaring torture, you might say, of being made to go all the way down into Egypt. He wouldn't have been getting a comfort of riding, would he? Only to be sold, not knowing to what would happen to him in that foreign land. Dear friends, who could say that this was the hand of God, that God was good to Joseph? Under those circumstances, the answer is no, none. The Lord had forsaken him. The Lord had let the hand of the wicked have the rule over him. The power of evil was greater than the power of good. Now, dear friends, we know the ending, but Joseph didn't. But, dear friends, we find that even in those great troubles, Joseph conducted himself wisely. He conducted himself in the fear of the Lord, and the Lord was with him. Dear friends, if the Lord was with Joseph, Joseph knew the influence of the Spirit of God, that in spite of all this trouble and evil that had come upon him and all that appeared to be against him, the Lord had not forsaken him. Dear friends, that's an evidence of the Lord's people. The Lord knoweth them that are his, that when they do come into trouble, for in this world we shall have tribulation. Man is born for trouble as the sparks fly upwards. But these troubles, dear friends, of the Lord's people are in the hand of God. There's a purpose, there's a reason, although we cannot see. And under the influence of the Spirit of God and of faith, we trust in him that he will bring it to past that which we shall glorify him in due time. It seems impossible, doesn't it? But with the Lord, nothing is impossible. All things are possible to him. Joseph conducted himself wisely. There was no animosity. He did all that was demanded of him and more besides in Potiphar's house. Such that Potiphar saw that the Lord's hand, the good hand of the Lord, was upon Joseph. And he caused him to prosper in his home. Until Potiphar's wife set her eyes upon Joseph. Now here again is Joseph's steadfastness. How easily, dear friends, he could have fallen into sin. How easily he could have taken up that which always perhaps you say, well, a pleasant to him. He was a young man. He was on his own. Oh, he was an enticement. Oh, the lusts of the flesh, how they predominate, don't they? Particularly in the young. But Joseph was steadfast. Dear friends, he was kept. Oh, David's prayer in that psalm this morning. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. And Joseph was given strength to withstand the temptation. The Lord is good. Joseph trusted in the Lord, in the word of the Lord, that he was God. We don't read that Joseph prayed, do we? We don't read any recording of it, but I'm sure he did. How could he continue in this way without the help of the Lord? How could he have continued without some answer at the time of his need? Joseph came to be falsely accused of this dreadful crime. And Potiphar, believing his wife, we're not told what discussion went on, if Joseph sought to plead his innocence or anything like that. It doesn't seem to have done any good if he had done. Potiphar put him in the prison, which was reserved for the king's prisoners. And dear friends, prisons in those days, they were dreadful places, physically. They would be foul, smelly, pest-infected. Oh, not the best of foods by any means. But even there, through the conduct of Joseph, dear friends, even the prisoner, as the leader, the head of the prison, committed more and more into Joseph, because he could see that the hand of God was upon him. Dear friends, what an example this is, isn't it, to walk consistently in the ways of God, even in the times of trouble. That there's a witness. A witness of whose we are. A witness in whom we do believe. A witness of the influence of that power of the Lord within us in spite of all that's against us. What influence it can have on others. The Lord is good. He was Joseph's stronghold in the day of trouble. Joseph trusted in the Lord. But what a mysterious path. It wasn't just 1 week, wasn't 1 month, was it, that Joseph was in the prison. It was more than a year and more than 2 years. But dear friends, Joseph wasn't there by chance. Everything was working out as the Lord would have it. There the king's prisoners were to come. The butler came, the baker came. They had those dreams and Joseph was given the wisdom by the Spirit to interpret those dreams which came to pass. Naturally, there was hope that, oh, the butler would remember Joseph before the king. But the butler, having been overjoyed at being released, he forgot all about what he dreamed and that Joseph had interpreted the dream. We do forget things, don't we? Even things that might have some significance in our path. But dear friends, the times of the Lord came when that king of Egypt would also dream. And it was Joseph's name who was remembered. None of the magicians could interpret. But the butler knew one who could. And Joseph was brought out. He interpreted the dream. He said what should be done as a consequence of the meaning of the dream. That these 7 years of plenty before the 7 years of famine, that they should store the food that was surplus and then use that store of food which was surplus in the 7 years of famine. Oh, what wisdom was given to Joseph. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He behaved himself wisely. And dear friends, he was exalted to the second in command of Egypt. And yes, his brothers who had sold him there, they came into need of food. They had to come to Egypt. Joseph knew that. Oh, the grace that was in Joseph. You might say the firmness that was in Joseph. The influence of the Spirit of God was still upon Joseph, that when they came, yes, he would deal very firmly with them, but in love. They didn't have to pay for any of their food, but he kept one back in prison until Benjamin came. Oh, we know the account, don't we? That when they eventually came in Benjamin and that golden this cup had been put into the sack of Benjamin, that he was accused of stealing it. Now they came, these brothers, and fell down before Joseph. And Joseph was like Christ to them, wasn't he? A type of Christ. Now he forgave them all what they'd done to him. But this is what Joseph said. Ye did not sell me here. Ye did not send me here. The Lord has brought me here to save you alive. The Lord has done it. Oh, dear friends, may it be so in all of our cases. When we pass through the deep waters, pass through these rivers, pass through the trials of our faith, and bring us through them, that we can then look back and say, the Lord has done it. All these things have worked together for good. What was the good? In the case of Joseph, yes, there was the physical good. That Jacob and his sons and all that were his now would have food free of charge in Egypt, where all the Egyptians still had to pay for it. But the Lord's word had been fulfilled, which he'd spoken to Abraham many, many years before. That Abraham's seed would be brought into another nation. And there they would be, as it were, captive for 450 years. Before they were brought out to go to the promised land. It was the word of the Lord. Dear friends, who can tell? Who can tell how the Lord may work today and in our lives? For what purpose things come upon us personally? Or collectively in the family, or in the church, or even in the nation. Dear friends, it's ours to humble ourselves, isn't it? Under the mighty hand of God. That he may exalt us in due time. Casting all our care upon him. For he careth for you. Well, dear friends, this is a word of comfort, isn't it? The Lord is faithful. He knows the way you take. Your way is his way. His way is a gracious way. It's a fearful thing, yes, as the scripture says, to fall into the hand of the living God. But his hand is a gracious hand. We shall learn more and more and more of the goodness and the power and the faithfulness of God as we pass through these times. If everything went smoothly and well, what would be the outcome? Oh, as it was with Israel when they came into the promised land, by our own power have we gotten ourselves all this might. It was in the times of their difficulties and troubles they came to trust upon the Lord and to know that the Lord is good. He did not fully deal with them after their sins. He did not fully reward them according to their iniquities. Many a time, He delivered them and pardoned their sins. Well, dear friends, God changes not. This God is our God. He is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. He hath showed thee, O man, says Micah, that which is good. What doth He require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now that was Joseph's experience, wasn't it? Joseph's example. Oh, what a mysterious path he had. It wasn't enjoyable in the flesh. But dear friends, he came out the other side. Oh, to the glory of God. In that place of power. He was the Lord's. From the day of his birth. To the day of his death. And dear friends, when Joseph was buried, I'm sure his soul was taken from time to a blessed eternity to be with, as the scripture says, his people. Then may this be ours. Oh, to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. To press through all that comes against us by faith, trusting in the Lord who is good. He knows them that trust in him, that pour out their heart. Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, undertake for me. Lord, save me. Those short, urgent prayers in the times of trouble. Dear friends, nothing is impossible with him. Why, he does exceeding abundantly, above what we ask or think. Then, dear friends, may this be a word of comfort to us. No matter what, we do not know what may come before us in the coming days, the coming weeks and months. But the Lord's word never passes away. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Amen.
Close the worship of God here today with hymn 320, tune 259.